So this morning, y'all, we're continuing in our sermon series, Join the Move, Experiencing God in Real Time. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been engaging in a Wednesday Bible study. This study is going to go on for the next 10 weeks or so. The title of this study is Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. How many of us fret over knowing and doing the will of God? It's as if we search for God as if he's a needle in a haystack, and there's this one little thing he wants us to do, and we're trying to find that one little thing that God wants us to do. But listen, when you have a personal relationship with God, when you hear him speaking and you hear his voice, that's simply the time to obey God in that moment. And so the purpose of this Bible study, the purpose of this sermon series is to awaken us to the radically God-centered lifestyle that God wants us to live, a God-centered, not a us-centered, a me-centered, a world-centered lifestyle, but our focus should always be on God. I shared with the congregation this morning. I thank God for his grace and for his mercy. I failed a little test on last week during the vacation time that we were in Miami, y'all, and I got excited. The white sand, y'all, and the water, y'all, it was just emerald green and blue and all of that. I'm going out, y'all. I just want to touch the water. It was just beautiful to me. And there's a guy that he sells the little things you lay out on, the chairs and stuff, whatever. And I'm walking, and he asked, I don't need nothing, sir. I'm good. And so he said, but sir, you need to get, sir, y'all, I just went Memphis. I just went blank on that one. Didn't I tell you I didn't need that? I just want to go out to the. And in that moment, God got my attention. Here was your moment to represent me, well. And you going off on this young man. I feel, I'm not by myself. Listen. But God wants us to live a God-centered lifestyle. So in moments like that, we don't miss the moment. Miss the moment to be a witness, to be a light, to be an ambassador for Christ. Part of this series is to know God deeper, to discern his voice and understand his will for our lives, your life and my life, to know his will, his ways, and his work. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how God is already moving and asking the question, have you missed the moment? That God is always at work, Mother Tila, around us. We went to John chapter 5, if you remember, and Jesus was having his conversation with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, that Jesus had healed a man that was lame for a long time. And the man got up and walked. But the religious leaders, y'all, they look around, but wait a minute. This Sunday, this is the Sabbath. Jesus, you can't be doing Jesus stuff. You can't be healing folk and doing miracles on the Sunday, on the Sabbath. But listen, I tell you this, if Jesus wants to bless me, to heal me, to deliver me on a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday, I'm open to it. If God wants to do a miraculous work in this ministry and in this work that's not in our tradition, but it's what he wants to do, then let him do it. Y'all, we have a lot of reasons that we don't recognize the movement of God. I think oftentimes because we're up into our own selves and our own lives and to me, and so we miss a move of God. But Jesus is inviting us right now, in real time, on whatever day of Sunday, whatever the day it is, he's inviting you and me to work with him, to join him in his work. And so don't miss the move of God. So this morning we're going to Revelation chapter 3. Gold that has been purified by fire. That you will be rich. Also buy white garments for me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together. As friends, encourage our hearts from the thought, someone's knocking at your door. Someone's knocking at your door. So the Apostle John, the author of the Gospel of John, the same John who writes the three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, is the author of the book of revelations. Revelation comes from a Greek word, means apocalypse. Apocalypsis, where we get apocalypse. When we think about apocalypse, we think about all chaos and confusion everywhere, but the word really means unveiling and uncovering. That in the book of Revelation, John is uncovering the end times, how things will play out in human history. But here in the text, we find that John is exiled to the island of Patmos. There's this emperor by the name of Domitian that liked the fact that he's preaching the gospel, that he's telling people about Jesus. So he exiles him. He puts him out by himself. What I love about the gospel, that you can never keep the gospel out. That John is on an island, but he still declares the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need some Johns in the church today. So people that don't care if you put me out. You're not going to shut me up. That I'm going to talk about Jesus until the day I die. I'm going to talk about the gospel until God takes me home. So here John is, and he writes to seven literal physical churches. The churches of Asia Minor that we call current day Turkey. And he writes to give them a spiritual health checkup, a health report from divine doctor Jesus. It's really Jesus speaking in the text. Jesus is giving commendations about all the good things that these seven churches were doing, but also correcting them on the things they needed to get right before him. Again, these were seven literal churches that John, that Jesus is speaking to, but make no mistake about it, he's speaking to us today too. So as we look at these churches in the book of Revelation, we have to ask ourselves, God, what are you saying to me? What spiritual significance can I gain from these churches? What commendations do you have to say about my walk with you, Lord? Maybe more importantly, what corrections do I need to make in my walk? Yeah. I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God to show us where we are deficient, to show us we're doing well, but to give us a spiritual health report. In newsflash, all of us need improvement in some area of our walk. Are y'all quiet? I mean, y'all looking. All of us need help and some improvement in some area of our walk with the Lord. But here's the deal about the church at Laodicea, y'all. They had a bad health report. It was bad. It was so bad that out of the seven churches, Jesus had nothing good to say about this one church. Can you imagine going to the doctor giving you the report? You know that you got to draw the blood and you get the stuff you got to do, and they start reading off stuff and everything is bad. Your A1C is off. Your vitamin level, that's off. That nothing is on point. Jesus said, y'all ain't getting nothing right. You jacked up. You tore it from the floor up. They didn't realize that they were in the condition they were in. Woe to those, y'all. Woe, that's a King James word. To that, those that don't realize that they jacked up and think they got it together, but they really jacked up and they ain't got it together. I know the vernacular is not right, but to those people, they were prideful, they were arrogant, they were all into themselves. They thought they were spiritually healthy, but they were spiritually poor, y'all. Again, if we think that we've totally got it together, we're spiritually healthy in every area of our lives, then it's hard for us to receive anything from Jesus. And the fact is, we really deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sins, we deceive. I know you say sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and all of that, but none of us are perfect. The fact is, Jesus is still at work in each and every, we are a work in progress. So my prayer is, Lord, use me, God. Use me to the utmost of my ability that you've given me, because I realize that I am still a work in progress. So those who receive, as we look at the text, the riches from Jesus, his gold, beautifully refined in the fire, then they are truly rich, spiritual things. Those that receive from Jesus pure, righteous, white garment, they're properly dressed, that he's all our righteousness. We stand complete and whole and pure in him and not by ourselves, that he is our righteousness. Receive from Jesus his healing, the ointment for the eyes. And we can really have truly good eyesight, spiritual eyesight, to discern those things that God would have us to discern. We must seek those things that are above, not those things which are below. Seek those things from Jesus. Only he can provide certain things. Only he provides the spiritual things that we need to live this spiritual life. So the Laodicean church, y'all, you read the text, it says they were lukewarm. How many of y'all like lukewarm tea? Lukewarm coffee. I'm a coffee drinker. I like my coffee hot. I have a habit every morning. I get a hot cup of coffee, drink it halfway down. I get busy, go to sip it, and it's lukewarm. And I throw it out. What if Jesus was saying to you today, I have to spew you out because you're lukewarm. You were on fire once upon a time. You were running strong for me once upon a time, but you're no longer doing that. He says to this church, listen, you're wretched and miserable, but they thought they had it going on, and they did not. They were materially rich, perhaps. They had a whole bunch of stuff. You can have a house. You can have a nice car. You can have a nice job. You can have a nice title and still miss it with Jesus. I'm so afraid sometimes of pride and arrogance because it blinds you to the things of God. You really don't see it. The church, they could not see it, but Jesus has to break it down to them. That's why we need to always seek those things from Jesus that we cannot buy. Not material things, not physical things, but the spiritual things that he gives us. In addition, Jesus is letting, I'm just walking through the text, y'all, so y'all get the context. He's letting them know, y'all, that those he loves, he has to correct. How many witnesses we got in the house today? That if he loves you, he's got to correct you. Anybody ever got a spanking from Jesus? Did he have to correct you? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I tell you what, I'd rather be corrected by Jesus than have the commendation of man. Because when Jesus comes to correct, he comes in love. He's not overbearing. He doesn't overdo it. You know, some of y'all were read, look at me, don't look around. Look, y'all mom and they had we call them extension cords. Extension cords, and I mean, there's some brutal stuff. You know, they take a whole branch from a tree and beat you all. They had a twig left, and we survived it by the glory of God, by the power. We survived it. I'm glad God's just not going to beat you down. He corrects you because he loves you and to lift you up. But the commendation of man, I found something about the commendation of men, that men will talk good about you one day. And on the same day, they'll stab you in the back. That people will smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place, them back stabbers. Would rather have correction from God than a commendation of man. But what I love about what he's saying to the church at Laodicea, that this church had sunk into such a low that they were prideful. They were arrogant. They were all up into themselves. But Jesus, their Lord and Savior, still loved them. Yeah. Here's the point. You can't go so low that he won't lift you up. Yeah. That he still loves you. He still keeps calling your name. I don't know about you. I'm glad he keeps calling my name. Yeah. Even those times in my life when I wanted to walk away, he kept on calling my name. Even in those times when I wanted to give up, he kept on calling my name. Even in those days when I was young and I was slipping and dipping, in, he kept on calling my name. Anybody glad he keeps calling your name? That he doesn't give up on you. People will give up on you, but God will never give up on you or me. Then Jesus gives the great invitation. I love what he says. I stand at the door and knock. Anyone would open the door to me, I'll come in and I'll sup with you, I'll dine with you, I'll fellowship with you. This very gracious invitation from Jesus, our Lord and Savior, it happens though when we respond to the knock, that we have to respond to his knock. The promise is to the church. That's what's in the text, in the context that Jesus is speaking to the church, the Laodicean church. Can you imagine Jesus standing on the outside of the church and knocking to come in? My goodness. God's people on the outside of the church knocking to come in. Let this breathe for a minute. Have you ever heard a knock at your door at the house, whatever your address is? And you didn't answer. Oh, y'all being honest. Some of y'all faking it. No, I always, you look out there, You look through that little peephole, and it's like, oh, I don't feel being bothered today. Okay, anybody ever look at your cell phone and you see who calling you? You know you ain't busy, but you ain't answering that phone. Come on, be real. Be honest now. Be honest. I don't feel like it in the moment. I don't want to do it. Has God ever been knocking at your heart, speaking to your heart and your conscience? But you've been peeking through the blinds of business. You've been scrolling through the distractions in your life. We pretend like we don't hear him, but we hear him loudly and clearly, and we don't respond. And he wants relationship with you. He wants to dine with you and fellowship with you and connect with you, but we refuse to open the door to him. God is not just near you. God is knocking at your heart. We learn from this study, y'all, experiencing God, that in this sermon, that God is not, he's not distant, that God is actively pursuing us in a real, personal, ongoing relationship. Do you not know that? That he is a big God and a great God and a mighty God, but he wants a personal, deep relationship with you and me. In the world of philosophy, there's this term that they use, a deist. The deist says that God took the world and made it, and he wound it up like a big clock, and God stands aloof from all of creation, and he's watching us destroy ourselves. That's not the truth. That God is pursuing a deep and personal relationship with you and me. He's not distant. He's a personal, relational God. So let's walk through real quickly, y'all. We're going to get out of here and go get some chicken. Let's walk through the text real quickly. What happens when Jesus is knocking at your door? Thank Brother Larry White for the last minute making this the symbol up here. I want you to focus on that today. What doors are you? Are you not opening for Jesus? What areas of your life are you not allowing him to come in? So the first thing I want to see is this, that Jesus knocks with intention, y'all. He knocks with intention. He says in the text, I advise you, or I counsel you, to buy from me, receive from me, connect with me. Do you not know he knows exactly what you need before you ever open the door, before you ever open your mouth? He knows exactly what you and I need. That Jesus wants us to experience his presence before we fulfill his purpose. He has a purpose and a will for your life and for my life, but the first thing that he wants is an up-close, deep personal relationship with you and me. Real Christianity, y'all, is about a relationship, not merely religion, not rote just doing this and doing that. Well, I serve on the praise team and I serve here. And it's about relationship first. God pursues us first. I think about the story in the book of Hosea. It's a beautiful love story when you think about it. That God calls this man, Hosea, to marry this woman who is unfaithful to him. We're going to keep it rated G. That she was a woman of promiscuity. That she loved men. And wasn't no shame to her game. Even after marrying a man, she still does. She's doing her thing. She out there producing children from that. That's Johnny children over there. But God says, that's your wife. Don't you go anywhere. Because he was showing Hosea in Israel something different. So he wanted him to see something. He says to Israel through Hosea, y'all just like Gomer, y'all just like that woman, that you are a harlot. You're like a prostitute. You commit spiritual adultery. But the good news, he's telling, I still love you. And I'm still calling your name. I'm still drawing you. I won't let go of you. That's the love of God. That was the love of God for Israel. That's the love of God for us. That Jesus knocks with intent, that he wants to come in. That Jesus does not knock randomly, y'all. He knocks strategically. He already knows where you are. He knows the mistakes that you made. He knows what's missing in your life. He knows where you're pretending, you're acting, you're smiling, you're looking all sanctified. He knows every area of your life. And so when Jesus knocks at the door, he's not just knocking, guessing what's going on with you. He knocks knowing. Yeah. He knocks with intention. Yeah, there's a story of a man that heard a knock on his door on a Saturday morning, like some of us get, you know, you know, that's when the Jehovah Witnesses come out, and you know, they Latter-day Saints, you know, they're going through the neighborhood. So someone knocks at the man's door, and the man, he silences the whole house. Fam, shut up. Somebody, we don't want them to know. No, we ain't here. Dog, shut up. Everything is quiet, y'all. He makes sure no lights are on in the house. Everything is silent. Everything is quiet. And all of a sudden, the man on the outside of the door, he says, I know you're home. I see your car in the garage. I just want to let you know that your garage is on fire. I wonder for us, how many says Jesus knocking? He's knocking with intent, not to get on your nerves, but to let you know your house is on fire. That there's some trouble in your life, and he wants to come in and fix it. That things are on fire, things are destitute and damaged, and he wants to come in, and we won't let him into our situation. We won't let him into our circumstances. We'd rather hide from him. But the next, what happens with, thank God, I thank you. What happens when he doesn't leave? Know also that Jesus knocks with persistence. Look in your Bible at verse 20. He says, I stand at the door and knock. The phrase suggests ongoing knocking, not just one knock. He knocks and he keeps on knocking. He knocks and he keeps on knocking, that he doesn't give up on us. God's grace is persistent even when we are resistant, even when we throw in the towel on ourselves. He won't throw in the towel on us. I think about the Apostle Paul. He was on the road of Damascus, that he went out to persecute Christians, to have them hauled off to jail and to be killed. But God met Paul on that road that day, that he knocked him down from his high horse, and he spoke to him. Why do you try to persecute me, Paul? This experience that Paul has with Jesus was like none other. And it transformed his total life for the rest of his life. Paul becomes the greatest apostle to the Gentile nation. Jesus was persistent in his life. He's persistent in your life and my life too. In this study, experiencing God. God is always around us. And he invites us into a relationship with him. Every knock, y'all, is an invitation. He knocks through his word. He knocks through conviction. He knocks through our circumstances. He knocks through other people. Have anybody spoken into your life? How in the world did you know that? He prophetically knocks through other people as well. And so we have this tendency to try to keep God out when he's knocking. Sometimes our conviction turns into guilt, but he keeps on knocking. Sometimes it's like he's knocking and we hear his voice, he's knocking, but for us, y'all, it's like this interruption in my life. Not right now, Jesus. I got too much going on. Not now, Jesus, but he keeps on knocking. And even in those times, y'all, when we have rejection in our lives and things don't go our way, maybe it's Jesus saying this, I'm allowing that rejection. I'm allowing that obstacle in the way so you can clearly hear my knocking and let me into your life. Let me into your circumstances. Let me into your situation because I want to be close to you. And can we just be real for a minute? God has knocked, y'all, when we were in a relationship maybe we shouldn't have been in. He was knocking, y'all, when we made some bad decisions in our lives. He was knocking, y'all, when we almost gave up, and he kept on knocking. When we were silent and we wouldn't answer him, he kept on knocking. He did not give up. Anybody glad that he just kept on knocking? For real, though, he didn't give up on you. People will give up on you, but God will not give up on you. He keeps on knocking. He keeps on calling my and your name. I'm almost done, y'all, because here's the tension in the text. The door still has to be open. And guess who has to open the door? If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. That relationship requires response. If you hear the voice of Jesus, and he's speaking to you even in this moment, he's knocking, and there's some area of your life you need to open up so he can come in. Let him come in. That he initiates the relationship. But we have to participate. We have to open the door and let him in. Show him the good, the bad, and the ugly. Show him your pain and your hurt. Let him come in. Jesus knocks. He calls and he pursues, but he doesn't force his way in. It's a choice. I think about Zacchaeus in the book of Luke, chapter 19. And Jesus was coming into town, a certain town one day, and there was this tax collector, though they did not like tax collectors at all, y'all, because they were cheaters, they were liars, they were grifters, they liked to get the money. But Jesus is coming into town, and Zacchaeus, y'all know the story, he's a short man. But he hears that Jesus is coming into town. What does he do? He climbs a tree, a sycamore or a fig tree, so he can see Jesus coming down the road. Jesus speaks to him in that moment. He says, Zacchaeus, get down from that tree, because today I must be a guest at your house. And I wonder who he's speaking to in this moment. Come down from whatever place it is. Open up your heart. Open up your, because I want to be a guest in your heart and in your house today. I'm knocking, but will you open the door? Jesus is knocking. He's calling. He's pursuing, but you got to open the door. And here's the deal. We want blessings without relationship. We want breakthrough without surrender. We want all of his provisions, all of his blessings without his presence. But Jesus says, I don't just want to visit you. I want to dine with you. I want to fellowship with you. So a fellowship meal in that day, it was a special thing. It represented intimacy. And anytime we allow people to come in our home, that's what it's like. Come in. Kick your shoes off. Make sure your feet don't stink. Sit down so we can give you a meal. So we can talk together. So we can fellowship together. So Jesus, he's talking about connection. He's talking about intimacy. He's talking about a real relationship and not religion. That he wants a relationship with you and me. That he's not just knocking. He wants a relationship, a real relationship, a deep relationship with you and me. He's not just calling. He wants to connect with you and me. Just a word for those who feel like, listen, you're not worthy to open the door to Jesus for whatever reason. That sometimes we'll say, Lord, I can't invite you into this mess. Not with the stuff that I've been doing and dealing with. I don't want you in this. Give me a minute to clean it up, to get it together. But then we're putting the cart before the horse, because that's the very reason he came. He came to come into our mess and to die for our mess and our issues. He died on Calvary's cross. His blood was shed for our mess and our issues and our sin and our stuff. Yes. And so if you feel like, look, I can't invite, let him in. He already knows. He's got x-ray eyes. He knows what's behind the door. He knows what's in your life. You can't fool him. It all starts with his presence in your life, but he's not forcing his way in. He said, will you let me in? That he specializes in using even the unqualified. Think about Moses, that reluctant leader. God used him. Think about Peter, the impulsive disciple. God used him. Think about David, King David, the flawed king. God used him in a powerful way. Think about Paul, the persecutor of Christians, but he became the greatest apostle to the Gentile world. Think about Rahab, that prostitute that God used in a powerful way to deliver the Israelites. Think about how God uses you and me each and every day of our lives. Before God uses you, understand he loves you. It's relationship before purpose. It's relationship before your calling. Many people know a whole lot about church, but nothing about intimacy with Jesus. That we know the routine of religion, of showing up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but have no deep relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a relationship that he wants. To what extent, ask yourself this question, to what extent do you let Jesus into your life? For real though, let that marinate. What rooms in your life are off limits to the Lord? What areas of perhaps pride or arrogance or fear, those you won't let Jesus in? When he says, I want to come in, let me in. Let's just bring it home. Somebody here today, you've heard the knock. You felt it. You felt it during this worship experience. You heard the voice of God. You know the voice of God, but you won't let him in. That in the quiet moments of your life, he's still speaking. He speaks through his word. He's speaking to you, but you won't listen. You won't obey. You won't let him in. In your struggles, and even right now, Jesus is saying to you and to me, I'm here. I didn't leave. I didn't leave. I'm not giving up on you. Yeah. I'm going to keep on knocking. Yeah. The tragedy is not that Jesus is not speaking. The tragedy is that we keep the door closed. That he's knocking. Saying, let me come in. Let me come into your pain. Let me come into your problems. Let me come into that unforgiving spirit. Let me come to what's missing in your life. Let me come into your tragedy. Let me come into your grief. And he keeps on knocking, and he keeps on knocking, but we refuse to open the door to let him in. Why don't we just open the door and let Jesus come in and let Jesus do Jesus stuff? Let Jesus do what Jesus wants to do in your life. Let him in. Jesus is knocking. Will you let him come in? Let him come into your life. Let him come into your problem, in your pain. The same hand that's knocking, y'all, is the same hand that will hold you. The same hand that's knocking is the same hand that will deliver you. The same hand that's knocking will save you and help you. That he's knocking at the door. Will you let him come in? Things I want to leave you with. Things to consider to help us to let Jesus in. Because sometimes it's hard. Know this, no amount of Christian activity will ever replace your relationship with Jesus. You can't serve hard enough and long enough. It starts with a relationship. And sometimes we're concerned that we don't hear the voice of God because we're not in a deep connection and relationship with him. Do you hear his voice? How often do you hear his voice? And the way we express our love for Jesus depends on the kind of relationship we develop with him. We want this grand relationship with Jesus, but we spend little time in his word, little time in prayer, little time hearing and discerning his voice. My sheep hear my voice is what he says. Another they will not. Y'all, there are a whole lot of voices in this world. Yeah. And the enemy is smart. He'll make a voice sound like, and it's not Jesus, but it sounds like him. But when you're in relationship with Jesus, you hear and you know his voice. Know this too, that Jesus values availability over ability. Look at how gifted you are. How well you can usher, deacon, or sing, or whatever it is. It's about being available to him first. Availability means relationship. And then this, Jesus uses the flawed and the unqualified. How do I know? Look at me. He uses the flawed and the unqualified for his glory. He used all those folk in the Bible that were flawed and unqualified for his glory. And then know this, the greatest truth in scripture is this. That God is love. So will you join the move? Will you let him in? Do you really want to experience God in a deeper and real relationship like never before? Will you let him in this moment? That he's speaking in real time right now. I want you to sit in it for a minute. What area of your life has he been speaking? And you know it's his voice, but you fail to respond. I want you to let go. I want to come in. Just let it go. Surrender to me. I'm knocking. Just let me in. I know it's painful, but just let me in. I know it's hard, but just let me in. When will you respond to the knock of Jesus? In whatever area of your life it might be, and really let him in. The invitation for today, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 lets us know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6 23 lets us know that eternal life is a free gift of God. Maybe this moment he's knocking on your heart to the unbeliever that's here today. Romans 5 and 8 lets us know because of his love for you and me that Jesus paid the ultimate price. He died, the penalty that gave the penalty for our sins. And if we confess and repent of our sins against this holy God, that he's faithful and just, that he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9-10, confess Jesus as your Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10:13, ask God to save you and he will. So in this moment, to place your faith in Jesus and receive the gift of eternal life, a few things you gotta do. Recognize first that you are a sinner and you need a saving relationship that only comes through Jesus Christ. Then we confess, we come into agreement with God. We don't patty cake with God about our sins. We don't sit down with God and say, God, well, you know that ain't so bad. We don't deflect with God. Wait, God, I can look at them over there. No, we come into agreement with God about our stuff. Yeah. We repent from our sins. We turn from them. We turn to God. We ask Jesus to save us by his grace. And we turn over the rule of our lives to Jesus and allow him to be the Lord of our lives. So that every time he's knocking, we hear his voice and we open the door and we let him in to do what he wants to do in our lives and to experience him in a deeper, intimate, loving relationship. And the church said, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Give God praise in the house today. So I just gave the invitation. If there's someone here today under the sound of my voice, and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, we're inviting you to come in this moment. He's knocking on your heart, speaking to your conscience to let you know that you need him. Why don't you get up from your seat from where you are? Our ushers have their hands extended. We're inviting you to come right now. Jesus is inviting you into a love relationship. Follow them across the hallway to room number one. We'll gather information. We'll talk to you about the gospel. We'll welcome you with open arms. If you're here today and you're already a born-again believer, you have a relationship with Jesus, but you're not connected to a church somewhere where you can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers, connect with other believers, Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. We're not a perfect church. We're not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. Won't you come in this moment? Just get up from your seat. Follow them out across the hallway, room number one. We'll welcome you with open arms. Why don't you come right now? We don't rush this moment.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.